Hello and welcome to AppleBiz Unleashed for November 2018 season's greetings to everyone. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Along with myself and my two other elves, we got Mike Malarcy and Randy Rusnak here.
Hey. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm the elf.
That's an angry elf. Hey, so
I just watched that movie.
Did you write your Christmas letter to Santa?
Well, I did, and as soon as I emailed it to him, he does email now, you know. And he sent me an attachment, and it just had four letters on it, and it was COAL.
I just got an invoice. So that's better. I'd rather have Cole than invoice. I didn't even get
best flow.
Yeah.
Just an itemized list.
Boy, we sure have a great show for you, don't we?
That's right. Absolutely. For our listeners, this is going to be a special podcast because I forgot to send the topic to our boys, our elves here. So they're just going to kind of flow along, go by a line, and then behave.
Haven't you seen The Wizard of Oz? Once they see behind the curtain, everything, all the magic is ruined.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. See, this is intentional, you know?
Yeah, it's professional. Topics,
because I knew that Mike would go, we are still going to get rid of this one because this month it represents and marks the 10 years of Emoji being on the iPhone.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, as soon as you started talking about it, I was like, it's going to be something about emojis. I can feel it.
You know, it's just one of those things. It's just kind of a inside thing that we just got to do with you. But did you know, this tells you if anything has gone absolutely bonkers with emojis. All right. Now, we started with 241 emojis back 10 years ago. Now, there are 2,776 emojis.
It's so crazy.
Light skin tone, dark skin tone, hair being pulled out of my head. You know, just stuff.
Like, you know what? The thing I don't understand, like, they have all of that stuff. Sure, that's fine. But then they have, like, the little drug syringe and the pills. But they got rid of the pills. Like, I don't, that weird political correctness, it's baffling to me. It's very confusing.
Star popping pill star.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, hey, yeah, like, there's all these drugs, but don't put a pistol in there. Let's make it a water gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird.
Exactly. No, it's like almost they're trying to replace the English language. I have to look up how many words on average that we speak on a day. Maybe it's like X number of thousand. I bet their goal is trying to make every emoji to make every day average talk.
Have you guys ever tried to actually have a conversation with just emojis?
My kids do that all the time to me.
I can't.
I have to figure it out.
No, I refuse. I just won't do it.
I tried once. I was like, you know what? This is for the birds. I deleted it. Go back to Word.
And Apple even gotten a patent to make possibly in the future of sound effects with how your face expression is in the.
Oh, no.
All right. You know what? I really never thought I would do this on a national podcast, but they'd see my face and the sound effect would be something like.
I can't wait to see what this comes, you know.
As long as I can shut that off.
Speaking of new toys and new things, catch the Apple October hardware keynote event with the new release of the iPad Pros and the MacBook Air and the Mac Minis.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. And I predicted there was not going to be anything about the Mac Mini. So that's not a great track record.
Well, honestly, we didn't know. I mean, we went in knowing that they were definitely going to talk about the iPad Pro, but everything else was just like up in the air. We weren't sure, right? But I don't know. I mean, what was your feeling when you heard it? I mean, you listened to all the new things they had to offer. What'd you think, Mike?
I was kind of excited about the Mac Mini, not so much for myself, but I know a lot of people that have them and love them and want them. And I think it's good. Like, everything should be, if people desire a thing, then I don't see why they would not continue to make that thing.
What do you have now? You have a MacBook Pro?
Yeah.
And do you like that just because of portability or just because it's...
The portability, yes. Also the speed of it, like it's fast. As do you. I often do a lot of audio editing and I've got a bunch of things going on all at the same time. So having something that can handle all that, this is probably more than I need, to be honest. But it meets all the needs that I have and it's just a great computer. I won't ever buy a desktop again. I've got no desire to go back to that.
That's what I was... Okay, so you would never do that again. Huh, that's interesting. Well, you know, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I had an iMac 2011, but I got rid of that.
And with I don't have one upstairs, but I don't use it because as we've talked about on this podcast, I like to lay around on the floor and stuff and I can't take a desktop.
That's true. But I guess, you got to admit the Mac Mini is good for the value though. I mean, if you
that's why I was excited about it, because it's a really good entry point for people that want a Mac but can't afford the price of the rest of these things because they're crazy.
Gosh, it was 4 years ago since they updated. So I mean, it's like all brand new specs and speed and everything was fabulous, which was great. But the thing that shocked me the most out of all those, as for the MacBook Air, let's start with that. The prices went up, and I was like, what? And it went up to what, $1,199? And I was checking the low end MacBook Pro, and it starts at $1,299. So $100 more. I get a better system, and it makes no sense to me. I guess people want the thinness and the coolness factor, I suppose, but it does have a Touch ID though.
A couple inches smaller. I don't know. I'm with you. I would rather have a little bit bigger of a laptop and get all the other upgrades that come with the Pro over the Air.
Me too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've been reading articles and stuff talking about, I think it was more geared toward phones in general, but like how Apple's prices that continue to rise year by year are becoming more and more of an issue.
Yeah.
And I can't stand analysts and stuff, but they don't have super great things to say about iPhones in the next.
No, they don't at all. But I was kind of disappointed with the MacBook Air overall. Yeah. I mean, they only have one CPU selection. And I was like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me. This is all I get to choose. This is 1.6 gigahertz that has a turbo boost of 3.2. And I was like, that is weak. That is really weak.
I don't get why it's so much money. You would think if I was in charge, I would want to build this the best that I could and keep it under 1,000, just like an entry thing. Like have the base model, $999.
And it's sad to see the Mac Mini even went up. I can't remember the dollar. I know it went up at least $200 or $300. And that's a major blow. I mean, the whole point of the Mac Mini, I get it. The iMac and the MacBook line are more expensive, but I was kind of hoping they still stay in that value area where people are more in the realistic area that don't want to chill out that. But I think the big elephant in the room definitely was the iPad Pro. And, and sure enough, the prediction of dumping the Lightning port was true. USB-C's only now, and I was totally shocked, and a lot of people are asking themselves, is this the beginning of the end to the end of the beginning for the iPhones? Are we going to see this roll over? And it's been some interesting discussions about this. You know, people are saying, no, they're going to go to USB-C because the EU over in Europe is thinking about making a new law that everybody must go with a universal port so they aren't disposing all these different types of plugs to charging devices. They all want to go to one universal, which would be USB-C. And the other side of it are saying, they're going to dump both and go completely wireless. We won't have any port eventually.
I don't think that'll ever happen. But
that will never happen. Mm-mm. I can't see that.
Because you have to plug some kind of a peripheral in somewhere, you'd think.
We got all these wall sockets. We got to put something in them. I feel like maybe the higher end models probably will do the wireless charging thing. I don't know. Maybe I wish they would just do like little drop down menus. When you get your phone, you can pick USB-C or you can pick wireless charging. You could pick storage. You can just pick each individual piece and then get it sent to you that way.
Yeah, but your average person, you know, that you know, like I don't want to put an age on it, but your person that you are dealing with that. Have you ever seen? I'm sure I'm going to raise a little ruckus here, but I guess I don't care. Have you guys ever seen like people when they go into the phone stores? They have absolutely no idea about anything.
Yes. So if you walk in and you just say, "I want the best of everything," or the, that's all I care about.
So having said that. Can you imagine all these menus that people would have to go, you know, click through? I just don't think that's going to happen.
Maybe they could just do it for us.
There you go.
That'd be nice.
Oh, you guys are doing the Unleashed Applebee's podcast? Okay, anything you want.
I don't think the ports are going to go anywhere either. It's just a matter of, I am curious if USB-C is in the future. I don't know. If people are going to... I know they're going to be asking this question. I don't know. But I will say the iPad Pro, what a speed demon that thing is. That, you know, it's kind of weird because the whole event keynote, they were touting how this is like, should be your next computer. And so David Goodwin wrote a great piece here. He wrote a blog. He actually went out, purchased an iPad Pro and gave it a whirl for a couple of days. And it shows you his finding, his result, if it was possible to use it as a primary device. And unfortunately,
nope.
And not surprisingly, it didn't work out the way he wanted to.
That wouldn't work out for me either, because what I primarily use my computer for now is editing podcasts and producing. Yep. And
yeah, I'm thinking like an average person. No,
I think your average person probably could. I mean, what is it? Facebook and email.
I'm thinking Instagram. Facebook, email, mm-hmm. Surfing, of course.
Yeah,
and little things like that. So I'm thinking it's plausible for those that don't require a lot could do that.
I mean, you could do it with a phone now,
pretty much, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, your iPhone is pretty much almost like an iPad. Yes, yeah. It does include a few more things, but nonetheless, it was interesting. And the gang, David Nason and the gang, had an extra 61 that went way more in details and of their thoughts about the keynote. So give that a whirl and give that a listen to what they have to say. It's probably a little more than what we had to say here.
Mm-hmm.
But the other announcement that they made, and this was not as I anticipated, and I think a lot of people will say the same thing. The fiscal Q4 report came out, and yes, they did meet the expectation of what they were supposed to make, is $62.9 billion, up 20% from last year. However, it's what they said in this report was, I thought it was a bombshell. I mean, to me, it was like the first shoe dropped. That's how I view this. Now, some people are saying I'm going way overboard. So here's the deal. All right. So Tim Cook says all the numbers. So we look at the numbers of the iPads and the Macs sold for this quarter down. We look at the numbers of what the iPhones that were sold, barely a hair more. And so he finally says, we are essentially have flattened out, guys. This is the peak and the bombshell. What he decided to do was tell everybody, we are no longer going to report unit sales. I was like, you are no longer going to tell us how many Macs, Pros, anything, phones are being sold. They said that we are overanalyzing and relying on those numbers way too much than we anticipated. And I'm thinking, no, we're not. You just got to the plateau that there's nothing to report and that's going to look bad. And sure enough, my God, Apple stock took a $220 billion hit.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember reading those articles too. He should have done this like 6 months ago before it all started happening. He's like, hey, nobody cares about this stuff. Don't worry about it. And then it probably would have been fine. But yeah, the timing for that was awful.
Not only that, but he followed that by saying, well, I just let you know that the next quarter report is going to be lower than we originally thought it was going to be. So we're going to lower expectation. I was like, that's the first time I've heard that ever.
Yep.
So finally, I think Apple has reached, has milked all they can get out of this cash cow, what they call the iPhone. I think the mm-hmm. iPhone has hit its peak. And, you know, it's, everybody's saying, a lot of analysts are saying, it's not Apple. This Apple's actually doing pretty well if you consider overall globally what other marketers are doing. I mean, the global phone sales are down 6%. So to see that the iPhone is sustaining and staying at that point without losing but actually gaining just a little bit is a lot to say. So it depends which analysts you listen to and what you talk to. But for some, they said this is huge. Of course, Apple is saying we still got other areas that we're focusing on, and that is the services. That's, if you guys don't know what the services, that's like things like the Apple Store, Apple Music.
Well, you know, the thing is, and I'm going to say this again, that should take like all their money and put it into Siri development. Come on, you know?
Yeah, at least give it like an extra $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, that the R&D is at its highest amount they have ever done. So they're dumping money in R&D like crazy. It's just that the, you know, why people say is Apple losing their innovation.
Awesome. I feel like it's natural. It's normal. Cause I mean, iPhones haven't been out for a terribly long time, like in the grand scheme of things. And there's bound to be that point where the market's just saturated with phones and people aren't desperately looking for like that next upgrade, like what's the new huge thing, because the last few upgrades haven't been super compelling. It's kind of been like, hey, look, you don't have to use a button anymore, you could unlock it with your face. And I feel like the average person yeah. doesn't care about that.
I think there are going to be some new things that come along, but I think what's going to help them is I think the radical design of the OS is going to help them. And now I think the only area they got to grow really with the iPhone is that I think they're in badly need of a whole new redo of the interface of the OS. I don't know, but services is where it's at, and it's up 27% from last year. And that is, I've heard and read that is just in an infancy stage, so they can create probably maybe $20 more billion a quarter just on services. One of the reason is because, as you can see, the Apple subscription is starting to hit pretty heavy, where they're encouraging the developers to do subscription based, so they get money off that. Apple Music is just starting to increase, and then finally, obviously the Apple video services, streaming services will be coming out. Just a matter, it's not of if, just when, and that will bring in money too. So they got other avenues, but really, I mean, you can only squeeze blood out of a turnip so much, you know?
Yeah. I mean, with the hardware drying up, it has to be content.
Yep.
That they focus on. So it makes sense. I mean, what else? Like, it's hard to try to imagine what the next, because you know, when the iPhone came out, it changed everything. Like, what is the next thing going to be? And I feel like people are trying everything from glasses, wearables, watches. Like, they keep trying the stuff, and sometimes, like, they do pretty good, but there's never been like that new thing that everybody's like, whoa, that's right. I need that now. Like, I'm waiting for whatever that thing is going to be.
You know, speaking of that, you know, this next thing that people are talking about and rumors to have, and I thought, well, this would not be the answer to that, but it would certainly help people like myself and others. You know, last month we were talking about the, mostly you and I, Mike, about the video streaming services. You know, would we want to buy an Apple TV just to get to the Apple services, video services? Because at one time they were talking, it would just be Apple's exclusive platform. And many, many, many people don't have that. So the discussion was that there's rumors that they're coming out with a low pricing version of a dongle like feature like Chromecast and Roku by Apple. And I thought, now that is a great idea depending on the price.
$99.99.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of late in the game, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Which has kind of been their model for the last few years.
Yeah, they're starting to they're playing catch up now, and I'm thinking, you know, I get it. You never had a video services before, so I have to give them that. But at least they're hopefully they will come out with a reasonable value that people are interested, because you never know. They may provide content that people really want. Let's just say.
Can't you guys just hear Tim Cook saying, they've done it, but we've got it right?
Yeah, right. It'll be the most innovative dongle you've ever put your fingers on.
The most innovative.
Everybody will want to play with their dongles from now on.
Yeah, talk about how the sleek design. And the rounded corners.
I will say they really are putting the big money into their streaming services. My God,
that's where the money's at right now. There's so much of it out there that they're going to have to make some very, very good content.
Oh, no doubt. They definitely got some high A-plus celebrities coming on to do a lot of the shows. But one of the biggest one that happened this month, I was totally shocked. I don't know if you guys follow movies at all. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Are you familiar with the movie studio A24 or A84? A84 is one of those independent studios. They're coming out. Okay, I'll give you an idea if it's any good. Last year's Oscar winner, Moonlighting, that was an A24 movie, along with other nominees such as Lady Bird. You probably heard of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Those are from the A84, and so they are making a deal with that studio to create movies and content for their Apple streaming. I was like, wow, now that's pretty cool. That's like saying Netflix is going to join up with Columbia or Warner Brothers to make movies for them.
I'm distracted thinking about the future of like actual movie theaters as this becomes more normal.
That's what I was thinking
too. I'm sure the independent production companies like that, like Rooster Teeth, could make these kinds of deals. I don't know. Part of me hopes that Warner Brothers, Paramount, all of those big ones don't ever do that. Because I like going to the movie theater, get that popcorn, like have the whole experience, the chairs shake around and stuff. Now it's fun.
I don't think you're going to have that problem, really. It is a lot of fun to send in other people's popcorn and M&M's.
It's great. You know, like all that free food all around your feet. You can just eat all of it.
I like the gum off the back of the chairs and stuff. That's what I like.
And I like it when my shoes stick in like a spoon, like at the bottom of my shoe.
And there's nothing better than pulling the fillings out of your teeth with eating dots.
Yeah.
Now, if it makes you feel any better, I remember last year, I can't remember one of the movies award thing. They totally said, sorry, Netflix, they used to like win things hand over fist. And they finally says, you know what? None of your movies are in the movie theater, so you're no longer part of the group. It has to be in the movie theater. And so what is Netflix doing? So they're now going to show 2 or 3 movies or so on the movie theater and then send it on to Netflix. Good. So they can be.
I like it. No, that's
fine.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, kudos for the movie guild saying, hey, we're changing this up. We still want it in the movie theater. Right?
Yep.
Did you guys hear that Apple received an award from the Hearing and Communication Center for the Eleanor Roosevelt Award? This is an award for showing great stride in accessibility technology for people with disabilities. So I thought, kudos for Apple for getting another award. And Sarah Hanlinger was up there once again, thanking everybody for the award. You know, we will say this 100 times over and over, rightfully so, Apple has gone the extra miles in helping with disability of all kinds and people that are hard of hearing and deaf and communications. There are no exception. They are part of all the people with disability, and Apple is continuing to do things for everyone, which is great. And Sarah made a remark. I didn't know they did this. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the inductive loop for those with hearing aids.
Yes, I am.
Did you know at the Ingenious Bar or at the Apple Store, every Apple Store includes an audio kit that includes a inductive loops for people that can use that when they're in the store? And I didn't realize that if you ask in advance, you can have someone with an ASL interpreter to come in for your visit.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know either one of those things. That's pretty awesome. I mean, they're one of the few companies that I can buy something from them and not have to worry about whether or not I can use it. And they just need to start making refrigerators and washing machines and things like that.
True. I was just kind of blown away that I didn't realize every Apple store has that ability. That's I figured awesome. Only certain ones would have that, but it's just so great to hear that they're catering to people with those needs, and you just simply just call and make an appointment with an interpreter and such. So that was a kudos for Apple for winning the award. So congratulations, Apple, and the team of Sarah. Now I'm going to give you guys something funny to hear. This I thought this was kind of well, okay. If I was one of the person that was that had this happen, I guess I wouldn't be too happy. But did you guys hear about this hospital that they were installing? There's a bunch of IT guys who are trying to install a new MRI machine, which is great because, you know, that helps and saves people's lives. But what they didn't know is that I didn't know that the machine has to vent out this helium that is produced by this MRI machine. Uh-oh. Out. And so I guess there was a leak in the venting system that released helium in the hospital. So I'm thinking, oh my God, was everybody going around going, hey, wait, but I guess it wasn't enough that it would cause any type of voice information, so they didn't know it was in the air, so it's obviously it's odorless and you can't smell it. But it disabled every iPhone, Apple Watch,
I didn't iPad hear that.
In the hospital. I was like, what? So here's the thing, is that none of the Androids or any computers were affected by this. This was just Apple products only, and it just totally debunked it. I mean, just I guess it has something to do with the chip with the clock system inside the Apple that has it. Others don't. And the helium caused it to go malfunction. Without the clock, the device just went kaput.
So it's sort of like the iPhone has sort of become a helium detector. That's interesting.
Yeah, or it just got diagnosed with a helium allergy.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
It really is.
Now, what they didn't say, what's that?
You know, like, there's no way that they, I mean, maybe there is a way, but I can't imagine that, like, in the lab as they're putting these guys, like, let's spray random gases at it and see what happens. I don't think that's a normal part of their.
Yeah, let's do it while people are in the room, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, let's try methane first. Okay.
That's kind of what we're spouting today on today's podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, the disappointing thing was it didn't say what was the status, if the phones ever came out of that state or what. I guess Apple did have a little fact in there that helium does cause this and that it could cause some disabling and could possibly damage your device. I was like, whoa. But I was kind of hoping everybody in the hospital would be talking like, oh, what's going right on here? You know,
it's wouldn't like that be in the Chipmunks movie, but it's everybody in the hospital.
Well, remember those Jacques Cousteau movies where they would go undersea and they'd have to breathe a mixture of helium and oxygen, and that's what you'd hear. They were all speaking in high French voices. And did you ever hear those?
I didn't.
Back in the 70s?
Yes, when they're down the deep, and there's, I think it's a mixture of, yeah, you're right. It's like a mixture of something, and it caused them to talk real high voices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were down, you know, they were underneath, it's going in like, oh, holy, what a Chevrolet, but real high, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
There's been sightings in California. I was kind of excited about this news, really, myself. And I think everybody in the community that listened to this will be pleased to hear this, but Apple Map has decided to employ people with these backpacks, properly equipped backpack, and start to use Apple Mapping through that so they can improve on walking directions.
Cool.
Yes, and I was thinking, how do they do that? And they said, well, things that are non-street, like you would have to cross a bridge, and maybe it's a pedestrian bridge that wouldn't be on the Apple map. Now it would be on the Apple map. So there's little things like that they're going to put on it. They started in California, and Apple did confirm that this is a legit thing, and they are doing it, and they hope to have it statewide within a year. No information about it. Did say they are working on other countries, but didn't disclose when that would be out. But nonetheless, improving walking direction. This is great.
We're kind of terraforming our whole planet then. It's really interesting.
Yeah, digital terraforming. Mm-hmm. I want that job. Just get paid to walk around here with a backpack on.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Fun. Yeah.
It would be kind of cool to have that job. I mean, technically, would you? I don't know. That would be kind of a fun job, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just walk. It's easy.
The only thing that I'd like even better is give me a job that I could just sit down all day.
Trying to sit down with a backpack on?
There you go.
Just wheel me around in an autonomous car. There we go.
There you are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Apple did have some more recalls this month. I was like, oh my gosh, you guys are terrible. We're not talking about small stuff either. Now we're talking about the iPhone 10 from last year. There is no specific months or anything. The whole bang from whatever iPhone 10, they're having displays issues. Some people are reporting that they'll touch the screen, nothing happens, or it lags, or sometimes it will think you're touching something and it's doing it. So if you're having that problem, take that phone to your Apple store to get it replaced for free. I would definitely take that offer up if they are admitting that there's a display problem.
You know, it's kind of unusual because a lot of the people I know, I won't say everyone, but so many people that I have known in the past sales of the earlier 10s have either tried or have sold them and moving on up to the latest generation of them. I don't know anybody that's kept their old 10s.
Well, you know, even the people that do got the 10s that decided to go to the 10s, you know, they might want to keep that for a couple more years.
Yeah.
Or the people that bought the 10s because it's like dropped in price, like it doesn't exist anymore, the model itself. So I'm sure it was for a good price. So I don't know. It's just it's a good way of letting people know that if you do own one, that I would take advantage of getting the screen replaced. I wonder if that would. No, I don't think it would cover it. I'm thinking in a way like if I had a cracked screen, would that cover it because it malfunctioned the display? I don't know. Anyway,
you could just be like, hey, I know there's a crack here, but this thing malfunctions. Even before that crack was there, so
exactly, you couldn't prove that, you know.
Yeah.
But also the 13-inch MacBook Pro with the non-touch bar. If you have a 128 or 256 SSD, this is terrible. Any machine between June of 2017 to July or June of this year of 2018. That model is covered for replacement of your SSD. I guess apparently SSD is failing left and right and causing all sorts of cluster to come up. Cluster. Poor choice of word there. So we got two major, I thought they were pretty big recalls. I don't remember them recalling as much as they have been the last past year on products. I mean, my God, we had the keyboard problems. Mm-hmm. We had the slow down battery replacement issues. I mean, I don't remember ever having that at all.
You know, I have a MyBook Windows hard drive that's a terabyte, and it's big, shapes like a book, plugs into the wall. It's 10 years old, and it's still running. Knock wood.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how the older technology is like, I mean, we could say that with the old cars, you know, remember how.
Well, I'm still going. I'm still going good.
Just not quite as efficient as the younger ones.
That's right.
It's to say what the quality was in these computers or device back in the days mm-hmm. compared to now. I guess it's just so much technology and so many little things yeah. could go wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to just say that. I think it's the simplicity that helps when you only have like three things happening as opposed to who knows how many things are happening in this Mac in front of me. Mm-hmm. There's just way less to go wrong.
Oh, no kidding. Same thing for cars. I mean, my gosh, it's terrible that if you got this fancy dancy CarPlay or Android Play, whatever you got on the cars, and they're all computerized. And one computer goes down, the whole car just shuts down.
Yep.
I can't get my smoke alarm to stop beeping. I replaced the battery in it, but it's still going. So I've been doing a bunch of research. It's like, oh, it looks like it's probably hardwired into the circuit near the house. So you got to shut the breaker off, then remove it, then take the battery out, then hold this button for 15 seconds, or you just need to buy a new one. But I'm like, why can't I just put a new battery in it? I just want to do that.
Those things are so disposable. You can get them for cheap anymore.
Yeah, pretty soon you're going to hear the car say, I'm sorry, but I cannot let you out of these doors.
That's right. That's sad, too, because you guys hear that. I don't know if you're familiar. Those who are familiar with 2001 Odyssey movie, that Hal died last month, too. I was like, oh, Hal died. It's like, Dave.
You mean the guy that did his voice? You mean did?
Yeah, the voice behind it.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So who knows? But there's quite a few things going on Apple Business Month, guys. There has been a major change name in a game called, formerly known as Hubootle, and it's now called Game World. The developers behind Game World, formerly known as Hubootle, is looking for beta testers. So if you are interested to beta test for them, please reach out to them. I'm going to leave in the show note of the where you can find that article on how to reach the developer of behind Game World so you can get yourself on that list. That is a great, if you like that game or if you're into games, I would definitely highly that you go and do that.
I like the name Game World way better personally.
It does make a little more sense because, you know, they have six different games. And
it's just way easier to spell. Like, I couldn't, if I didn't know how to spell Google, I wouldn't know where to start.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's right. It is easier to say and spell. I mean, Hubootle. I had to give him an A for originality. I mean, nobody got that's a creative name. We also got a new game this month, but my little secret little nuggets just for you guys on Unleash. There is a Minesweeper Deluxe game that was just released by John of the Woodside app, and he has created some other games as well. But what makes this a little different and a little nugget is that, first of all, he was gracefully wonderful to give us some promo codes to his new game. And so one of the reasons behind that, he wanted to do us to give us to our Club AppleViz donators. So those that are donating towards AppleViz, thank you so much. And part of the perks are such things as this. So we gave away some promo codes for that game. Plus, we had some leftovers that I am going to give away some promo codes for our listeners on Unleashed. So if you're interested, send us an email at unleashed@applebiz.com. That's UNLEASH.
Shit.
You gotta think of how do you spell Unleashed?
This is too priceless not to leave in. I'm sorry, but
go for it. Yes, thank you, Danny, for that. I'm thinking one. UNLEASHED AppleBiz.com. So do that, guys. If you are interested, I liked Minesweeper. My God, that came out when I was on Windows 3.1, I think.
So what's the premise of the game?
Oh, you never played Minesweeper before? What about you, Mike?
Oh, yeah, with a lot of little squares, and you just like tap, 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 and you're like, oh.
Yeah, so you're presenting like a grid. So let's just pretend 7x7 grid. All right, so you are a Minesweeper. You got to sweep out the mines on this grid. So you click on one grid, hope to God it wasn't a bomb. And if it isn't, we were lucky. So you just sweeped out a certain area of where there's no bombs, but there'll be numbers left over behind. And those numbers represent where, and it's going to give you the hint where you can find that bomb on that grid. And the whole idea and the premises is to locate all the bombs without detonating any of them. It's a fun game. It's kind of challenging, especially when you get more bombs and bigger grids. I was thinking about doing a podcast on this at some point soon so you guys get an idea what it's about. But it's I enjoy it.
Because visually it makes a ton of sense. I grew up playing it when I could see. And I can imagine that not knowing what it looks like, it might be a bit confusing at first. And like seeing like, well, there's a three here, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you know, visually it can make sense. So hopefully that's the whole point of the podcast that I'll be doing, is that I'll go into the very basic idea and I'll show you virtually in your mind how this works. So it will represent with a number like number one. So there's a bomb connected to that box, either any direction. Obviously the areas that are clean doesn't have a bomb, but anything that's not clean is still hidden. That could be the bomb, but I'll go into more into it. But it brought back old nostalgia games I used to play. Minesweeper came with Windows 3.1 along with Solitaire. That was back.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
It's like, whoa, I love this. I love this game. I am so shocked you guys have never played Minesweeper.
I did. I actually have. I don't know. I have an accessible version of it on my phone. I like it. It's fun. It's one of those fun. I've got to sit on this airplane for an hour. I'll just play Minesweeper.
Just another game you can put in your little arsenal. If you get bored with one game, go to the next one.
As usual, I've stated this before, I'd rather jump out of the plane than to.
But you're missing the whole funness. You know, I don't think funness is a word, but you're missing the whole funness out of this.
Yeah, you get like a half a drink, some peanuts. It's great fun.
Yeah,
I could think a lot of things that I could do if I have some alcohol in me, but
doesn't always. Make
But we can't talk about that here. No, I'm sure. I'm sure it's a good game, and I'm sure the developer is cool, and he's to be commended for doing that. That's really cool. I know. I actually will be listening to the podcast when you produce it. So
I will. Ignore Randy of his little Eeyore.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
There's a little. So if you're interested in the promo code, hey, send me that. I will send you out. And of course, the availability is limited. So
yeah, send my copy to somebody else too.
I will do that. Just for this is on behalf of Randy, and this is.
I want mine.
I'm really kidding, but you know, really, that's really good that he's developed the game. That's good.
Well, that is good too, and I'm just excited that a developer went out of their way to give us promo codes just for our club.
Apple Biz
was the biggest thing of this, so I was very excited. So hopefully that'll continue to be something, so we'll be able to announce all the things that we've been offering and handing out. And now on to my last two tips for this podcast. I'm going to tell you guys, which I didn't know about, that you can create your own alias for your Apple iCloud email address. So if you guys have an iCloud address and you want to have an alias, so this can be very useful. What you do is you go to the website and bring it up, and you bring up iCloud.com, sign in, go to your mail area. From here, you should be able to go to settings and then click on properties. And from there, you should have the ability to add alias. And once you add the alias, it'll ask for your alias plus your full name. So obviously you can put John Doe if you want, if you don't want to be recognized by your real name. That's the whole point of the alias. Or if you have a business, which would be kind of nice to have a business name there. So you can have one your personal account and one for business. But the nice thing about this is that all the emails that are sent to those, including your alias, go into the same box. So that's kind of nice. I don't know if I were to reply to that, what email goes back out. I would hope it would go back out as my alias one. Obviously.
So like when you compose the email, it's a little like drop down box.
Yes.
To select it, you can, if it's not already right there, you can pick it. I've had an alias set up for a couple of years now. Is it still capped out at three? Because back when I made the one that I've got, you could only make three.
That's a good question. I think you're right. It does sound familiar. Three. And you're also correct. I do remember you have to do a drop down box to select what email that you want to use.
Yep.
Once you add your alias, you're just going to hit OK, and then it's going to ask for a confirmation. You say OK, and boom, now your alias is working. So I thought that was pretty cool, as I had no idea that you could do that. And then my last tip, and I know some people are going to say, why would I do this? Well, okay, I'm going to give you a tip how you can disable 3D Touch.
Why would you want to do that?
I'm sure that many people are going to probably ask why you want to do that. Well, you know, well, look at the XR. It doesn't have a 3D Touch anymore. And plus, I've had a lot of clients with motor skills or disabilities with their hands and whatever have not, that the pressing of pressure point, it can be cumbersome. It can be difficult. So I wanted to give you guys a heads up that you can turn this off. It's a very easy thing to do. You just go to settings, over to general, and then over to accessibility, and just keep swiping to the right until you get down to the 3D touch, double tap that. And then you have the option to turn that off. Once you turn this off, how do you use it? That's a great question. It's just like on the XR or other devices that don't use the 3D touch. It's simple. You just do a one finger double tap and hold, and then the 3D touch menu pops up. So I actually found this to be more useful than the 3D touch myself, only because I either inadvertently do this by accident, or I'll do it and it shows the pop-up is somewhere else and I can't find it. You guys ever had that issue?
I have. I never use that thing just because a couple times like it works fine, but yeah, it seems like the menu pops up and then I move around and it's gone. I'm like,
yeah, same here.
Yeah. So I honestly, I went ahead and turned this off and just to play with it. I sadly say I like this better. So I see why Apple dumped it on XR.
I think it's gonna. I wonder if it's gonna be permanently dumped at some point.
I think it will. I think it will. I know that it takes a special chemical or rare element,
like helium.
Yes, like helium. Make it work. No, it really, honestly, it's a rare element that they discovered by accident how they were able to use the 3D touch. And it's so extremely rare that they're not able to find a lot more of this element. So I think for production-wise and smart-wise, I think that a lot of people weren't using it as much as they thought.
It's kind of like the old Betamax days. They just did away with it.
Great machine, great tape.
Oh, just, yeah.
Didn't take off. Mm-hmm. So the 3D touch, I think, was the same philosophy. I think it was a great idea. I thought it was kind of ingenious. It's something a little different, but it really never took off. I think people just simply forget about it or
not. It's not intuitive, which is kind of what Apple's, that's always kind of been their thing. And I don't think naturally you would think like, oh, well, maybe if I push on this a little bit harder.
Well, yeah. If you notice that since iOS 12 has come out, though, that the hint is now there for all those 3D touch areas. So if it senses an area where it has a 3D touch and there's no other functionality there other than rotor, it'll say, press 3D touch to invoke action. So
I have never seen that.
Yeah, go back to your control center, go down and go to like the brightness or do not disturb. And listen to the voiceover hint. The voiceover hint will tell you there's a hint. Sometimes it says action is available, and that just shows me the rotor is available, right? But this one actually will say there's a 3D touch action available.
I'm pretty sure it does it in your messages too. If you type something in a message and just hop over to the send button, if you just wait, it'll tell you to push and hold or whatever.
Yes, push and hold for more action. Exactly.
Hmm. You can just send it with fireworks and
things like that. I think. Well, so that just proved to us that we have gotten so numb of what the hint was saying because we're so, we don't have time to sit and listen to all those hints. But it's there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, there is a really cool little Siri shortcut that came out this month for those Google folks out there. If you have the Google Assistant, you guys got to get this a download. I'm going to tell you what they've done. They actually allow you to use Siri shortcut for your Google Assistant. And pretty much what I had to do is that I had to use it just once, just do a call or a command from Google Assistant app first. And then what you do is you go back to settings, to Apple settings, and go under to the Siri area and go to the Siri shortcut. Within there, you are able to turn on Google Assistant. Once that's enabled, you can give that a Siri command. So I gave it a OK Google command. And from there, what will happen is I hold down my side button of the device, and then I say, OK, Google, let go. And boom, Google Assistant comes up. It's already listening. I'll say, how's the weather? And then she'll tell me the weather. That was a big thing for this month, I found. I really enjoyed that quite a bit. However, the only downfall that I found was that when it does open up, sometime VoiceOver gets in the way of its listening. So it's giving me these examples of what I can do with the Google Assistant. So it's picking up those words, and it goes, oh, sure, I can help you. And I said, no, that's not what I want to ask. So you may have to do a three-finger double tap to silence the speech.
Well, my issue, Tom, though, was to create the shortcut. How did you do it? And because when I go into settings and I see Assistant there, when I go to try to record, mm-hmm. I record and I thought, well, I'm gonna do really a cool thing. So I recorded Kirk to Enterprise.
So your Siri phrase was Kirk to Enterprise?
Yeah. But it wouldn't save. How do you save it? There's a cancel and a...
You're
what's
done.
The other one? Recording.
At the top right should be a done button.
No. No, it doesn't read.
So when you say record your phrase now, and you say, oh, you know what? Yes. What happened is that, first of all, you hit that button, and then you wait for the tone to come up, and then you say Kirk to Enterprise, and you wait. Don't do anything. Don't try to exit out or stop it. Yes, it will not work if you try to. I know it's a habit that we have, this two-finger double tap to stop the dictation, right? And so that is a no-no. It will not work if you do it that way. So you have to do just one-finger tap, double tap on the recorded phrase, wait for it, then say Kirk to Enterprise, then wait, and then it will unding, and then it will accept your phrase, and then at the top right, you just hit done.
I'm going to come over there and eat dinner with you.
You should. I smoked turkey for our Thanksgiving, so we have some leftovers for you.
I'm going to try that now. All right, I've got a whole bunch of... I deleted the Assistant app, and then I brought it up again, and it said to me when I brought it back, I'll be assisting you today, Big R, or something like that. I mean, like all my settings were the same. So I've got a whole bunch of Siri stuff under the shortcuts, and it says things like everything that I have tried. Plus, it said a couple of really nasty things that, you know, had the F-bomb in them.
Oh, my gosh. What have you been doing over there?
Well,
what kind of shortcuts you got?
I didn't say them. I have like about five that I really want to get rid of. How do I get rid of those? There's no delete button. There's no edit button. They're just there and they don't go away.
Well, it depends on the shortcut themselves. It depends how you created them. You can't, if they're in the app themselves, you go into the app settings, and then from there, you just tap on that and there should be a remove or delete item.
And which you mean an Assistant?
Well, the Google Assistant, if you want to get rid of that, you have to go under the Apple settings and then go under the Siri and then under Siri shortcuts. And then under that, when you find your Google Assistant. See, this is complex how they do this. There's three areas you can find these things. Things that you enable in the apps may not show up in the actual shortcuts app. Now, if they did show up on shortcuts apps, you can just go into shortcut apps and just swipe up on the shortcut, and one of the items to delete. Well, guys, that's going to do for November 2018. And I think we are going to have a special edition of the Applebee's Unleashed for December, which we will take a look back of the year and what we have covered on the Unleashed and what was the biggest thing and what was the lowest point of the year with Apple products. So I thought that would be an interesting twist and something a little different.
Well, at least we'll know our topics.
Yeah, we were
that
all
is true. That. So this is a heads up for the two little elves that don't get the topics, but also for the listeners. Most of all, you know, because it is a special time of the year, we don't want to spend our time doing the podcast during the Christmas break. So I thought, well, we'll just come out with a special edition that we'll just probably cover a few new things that came up during the month, but not very much. But we're primarily going to focus on the highlights of 2018, along that too, you guys can expect the, don't forget the Applebee's Golden Apples Awards is going to be coming out towards that end of the month of next in December. So be looking for that and get your voting hat on so you get ready to vote your favorite apps, games, and developers.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. And as usual, thank you for listening. I certainly did enjoy doing this one.
I listened to it, yes.
That if you listeners have, from a listener's perspective, a favorite or at least favorite part of this podcast over the last year, I'd like to hear it. So
absolutely. Yeah, if you guys, any highlights you've seen from us for over the year, what did you like and what you didn't like? I promise I won't leak your name or anything or put you in boldface on the show notes.
No.
I promise it is bad. Yeah, that would be great. Send it to us to the same address I mentioned before, unleashed@applebee's.com. No, I'm not going to spell that out again.
The listeners may want to know that when he was spelling Unleashed, I cut out a lot of that stuff, so you won't know really what happened. But
so I guess I'll have to spell it to you now.
No, you don't have to.
E-A-S-H-E-D at applebee's.com.
Did you put the H in there this time?
I sure did put the H in there, so be sure to put the H in there.
Seriously, guys, we love doing this podcast. We have a good time, and we do supply, we hope, some really good information for you, except for this one. But, you know, what can you do? It's late in the year.
Happy holidays, everybody. I am Thomas Donville, also go by the name of Anonymous, here with my other two elves, with Mike Malarcy and Randy Rushback.
Do you want me to give my iCloud alias?
Elfster Randy.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. She had something else you're thinking.
Well. See you later, right, everybody.
Until next time. Goodbye.
The music performed on today's podcast is Jason Castanguay, one of the co-hosts on ACB Radio's Main Menu. This is Randy Rusnak speaking.
This podcast has been brought to you by the community of Applebee's. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.applebee's.com.